The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus began to say to those in the synagogue, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord. When I was a kid, my uncle had his pilot's license for small prop planes. And every once in a while, rather than driving the 9 hours from South Carolina up to Ohio to see my family and my grandparents, he and his family would rent one of these small planes and would fly. And when they'd do this, it was my family's responsibility to drive out to this tiny little airfield outside of town and pick them up. Now, one year, they were going to be arriving particularly late at night, and so I remember driving into the airport well after the sun had already set, and you could see the entire runway lit up by these lights that every so often were changing color. And we watched them continue this process of changing color as my uncle's plane came in for a soft, smooth landing. And I asked my uncle about this later on, and he told me that these lights were there to let him know how close to the ground was, that as his plane got closer and closer to touching down, they would change so that he knew how much further he had to go in the dark when he couldn't see the ground as well. That these lights were there to ensure that he had a safe landing. Now, I, for one, really like this idea of having lights that could change color and guide me in for a safe and smooth landing. I mean, think of all the decisions and all the choices that you have to make in your life. You know, what college am I supposed to go to? Am I living in the right town? Are we sending our kids to the right school? How do I plan for retirement? How do I make medical decisions? All of these with just simple, a color-coded changing system so that you're just guided right to the ground. That every time you could have a perfect, smooth, and safe landing. Imagine just the process of choosing a college, right? You know, should I go to a state school or a private school? Well, yellow. Should I go near home or should I go further away? Orange. Should I live on campus? Red. Should I major in art history? Emergency lights blinking everywhere. Sorry to any art history majors out there. Should I major in anything else? So back to red. And a safe, smooth landing. Doesn't this sound appealing? Doesn't it seem like this would be helpful for our lives? Now, full confession, I spoke with a pilot this week. And it turns out that my memory might be just a little bit off. See, in fact, I did definitely go pick up my family from an airport, but I don't know if I made it up or if I dreamed it or what. These lights don't change color. But it was just too good of an image to pass up. And so just stick with me here for a moment, because it was just this notion that even if it's not how it works, I think sometimes we like to look back on the decisions that we've made, or we hear those stories of those who have gone before us, and it seems as though this is the way it was supposed to work. How many of us have asked a well-meaning mentor and said, how will I know when I chose the right college or when I get to the right job or when I find the right spouse? And their response comes back, well-intentioned though it may be, well, when you're there, you'll just know. As if the lights had guided them in perfectly without incident. The reality is that even if in our memory we have this perception of a smooth and clear landing, the process is usually much murkier and bumpier than that. Because whether we want them to or not, the lights don't work that way. Not on the runways, and not in our life. See, far more often I think that our signals in our life, the lights that shine in our life, are like a lighthouse. And I'm not talking to any sailors because I don't want this image to get ruined too. It's far more like a lighthouse for me because as I understand lighthouses, they serve a multiple function. They'd certainly guide you on their path, but they're also warning you that there is danger ahead. There are rocks, there are reefs, there are unseen threats that could ruin your day, and yet the lighthouse calls us to move forward. It seems to me that the signals we get in our life, though we may want them to be a smooth and easy landing, are far more often a lighthouse, warning us of danger and beckoning us to keep going forward. When we think about the light of God, as we've been thinking over these past several weeks, we're thinking this morning about the light's power to signal our lives. And this is an area where I think perhaps we pray most often for God's light to signal us, to give us a word of encouragement, to give us a clarity of our path. And yet, it is an aspect of the spectrum of God's light that I think seems most elusive. But what if it's elusive because we're looking for the wrong thing? What if the light of God's power to signal us eludes us because we are looking and praying and hoping for simple color-changing patterns that guide us in for a smooth and simple landing, when instead the light of God calls to us like a lighthouse, warning us of dangers and encouraging us to carry on? In this morning's gospel, Jesus has returned to his hometown. We pick up the story right where we left off last week. So as a quick refresher, Jesus has stood up to preach in the synagogue in his hometown and has read from the prophet Isaiah that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim the release to captives, to give the recovery of sight to the blind, to bring good news to the poor. And then Jesus sits at the head of the congregation. And we hear his words this morning. This scripture, in your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled. 9 words. Possibly the shortest sermon ever on record. In your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled. No theological treatise. No explanation of some ancient word that no one knows how to translate. No historical context for the time and place when Isaiah was being written. Just these 9 words. And in this moment, the people are impressed with Jesus. It says they speak well of him, and they were comforted by his words. After all, 9 words, that gets them out in plenty of time for the Super Bowl tailgate that's coming on. So they're ready to go. And yet Jesus knows in his heart that these people don't get it. He knows that these words feel like a comfort to them, that perhaps they perceive these as words that are guiding them in for a safe landing, and yet Jesus knows that's not how the lights are meant to work. Jesus knows that he's there for another purpose. See, the congregation knew this Jesus. They remember Jesus from the time he was in diapers to the times when he was having sleepovers with their kids. He remembers them growing up in this community. And so there's an element of this where I think this community wants a little special treatment from their hometown hero. We want a little extra recognition. We want a little bonus. We want to say, hey, Jesus, we know that you grew up here, so you might as well take extra good care of us. Make sure that we've got that simple and clear path. Make sure that from here out, it's smooth sailing for us. And so Jesus finally has to tell them plainly, that's not what I'm here for. I'm not going to do the things here that I did other places. My mission is bigger than just this backyard of mine. My call is to people beyond the walls of this community. In other words, Jesus says, I know you want an easy and safe landing, but I'm here to be your lighthouse. I'm going to warn you that there are rocks ahead, but I'm going to beg you to continue the journey forward. At this point, I would guess that many of you already have a sense of what's coming next for me. Not because I've said it before, not because it's so obvious, but because there is a piece of our hearts in which we know that we are just as guilty of this as those who gathered in Nazareth that morning. That we too look to Jesus and think to ourselves, couldn't we just have a little bit of special treatment? I mean, come on, Jesus, we're in church every week. We give faithfully. We put our kids in Sunday school. Jesus, I volunteered for vacation Bible school. What more could you possibly want from me? And yet the message comes back all the more clearly that we don't get special treatment. We don't get the lights that change color to guide us in for a smooth landing, but we do get a lighthouse. We get a lighthouse that continues to call us forward, that beckons us to come even though there are dangers that lie ahead. Now, when Jesus shares this with the crowd at Nazareth, they get angry. Suddenly, this one who had come from their hometown, whose words moments ago had brought them comfort, now enraged them. And so they band together, they drive him out of town, and they attempt to push Jesus off of a cliff. And yet Jesus passes through their midst and carries on his way. It would be easy for us to think that we too have a right to be angry. That if we think we're entitled to special treatment, then certainly this morning we have the right to be angry at Jesus for not giving us the smooth and simple landing that we deserve, for instead simply pointing out dangers that lie ahead. And so we could, if we chose, band together with our anger at Jesus and drive him out of our town. We could, if we chose, attempt to push Jesus off a cliff. But Jesus, just as he did in that day in Nazareth, will simply pass through the midst of us. And as he continues on his way, he will continue to shine as a beacon in the dark, warning us of the rocks and the reefs and the dangers that lie ahead, and calling us to follow. God loves each of you, and I do too.